Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking at Work. I'm Charlie Herman. And today, toxic coworkers.
Guys, I gotta talk to you about something right now.
She's literally the worst coworker you could probably ever work with in your entire life.
The most horrible boss/coworker you will ever meet in your entire life.
If you search the term terrible coworkers, there is a whole world of people with stories like this who upload videos to YouTube complaining about their coworkers.
He was really inappropriate.
And then this was the final straw.
How do you get out of bed in the morning?
You know you identify with these people because you have worked with this kind of person. They just totally get under your skin. You can't stop thinking about them or talking about them. Your friends and loved ones are getting a little scared for you because all you do is rant and rave about them when you talk about work. You even create videos like these. I mean, who exactly are they for? Is it just to get it off your chest?
Everybody's sick of it. And everybody's sick of your phoniness.
Why don't you just quit? Like, nobody's holding you hostage here. Go home.
Maybe you're even thinking about therapy. No comment on my personal experiences there. But here's a thought. What if you are the toxic one at work, and your coworkers can't stand you? How would you even know? To get some professional help figuring this all out, I turn to this person.
My name is Heidi Grant Halverson. I am a social psychologist and associate director of the Motivation Science Center at Columbia University.
Heidi and I have spoken before, and I like talking to her because she just gets right to the point. So to start off, how would you define a toxic coworker?
Typically, a toxic coworker is somebody that really irritates everyone who works around them. And more than that, actually, often undermines the effectiveness and the productivity and the well-being of the people that have to work with them or near them.
Okay. Are there particular characteristics? Like, if I think someone's toxic, what should I look for?
You mean to avoid them?
No, I mean in terms of how do I – yeah, of course, clearly I want to avoid them. But there can be people that are annoying and then there's people that are toxic.
Right.
What's the difference?
Toxic people, as opposed to just sort of generically annoying, are people that usually actually get in the way of your work in specific ways. And they're threatening, actually, in ways that are go beyond irritating. They kind of often tap into sort of primal things that are going on, you know, on an unconscious level, our motivations to be successful, to get along with other people. These people really block those motivations in a really powerful way. So they're the kind of people you can't stop thinking about and wishing they were gone because you just know that you could do so much better at your job if that person wasn't there really blocking your ability to do your job.
Yeah, but is it that? Because so much in executive coaching is you, Charlie, need to understand your motivations and your issues.
Mm-hmm.
And this person may not actually be toxic. It may just be, you know, your issues that you have or the way that you work and you need to change your behavior. So how do you know the difference between this is an annoying person that you can actually learn from and work with, and this is a toxic person who is detrimental to the company?
I think that actually can be very difficult to tell. I mean, you raise a very good point that sometimes someone is toxic in part because of your own issues, right, that you're bringing to it, that you're a little bit insecure or that you're a bit touchy about some things, and that if you would kind of maybe lighten up and look the other way a little bit, that person wouldn't be quite so toxic for you. So it certainly isn't the case that the onus is entirely often on the toxic colleague. There are things that you might be able to do. That said, sometimes you can't. Sometimes their behaviors that are creating the toxicity around you are not things you can ignore.
But a toxic coworker could also be somebody who is actually really good at their job.
Often it actually is, and that's part of the problem. They are people that often are very good at what they do, and so management doesn't necessarily want to do anything to get rid of them because they serve a function. What the manager, however, often doesn't realize is how much they're actually depressing the productivity of everyone around them.
So I was going to say, how do they impact a company, a toxic coworker?
There's actually quite a bit of research that suggests that companies would be much better served trying to root out toxic coworkers than they would be looking for superstars. The typical focus when you're recruiting is on somebody who has sort of spectacular qualities that you're thinking all in terms of the positives.
Right.
But in fact, actually, research suggests that toxic coworkers are a far bigger drag on the bottom line than superstars are a push toward more productivity.
Okay, so if you're listening to this right now and you don't think you're a toxic coworker,
right,
you're not even worried about it,
uh-huh,
what are some signs that you might be toxic to your coworkers?
Sure. So one of the biggest mistakes that people make with their colleagues is that they are not sufficiently warm in their behavior. So there's a ton of research that shows that about 80%+ of how we even see one another can be sort of broken down into two factors. We evaluate people in terms of their competence and their warmth. Your competence is basically, you know, can you act on your intentions? And your warmth is, do you have good intentions toward me or not? If you're not warm, you're cold. There's no middle ground, really.
But is cold like you're just sitting at your desk and you're not saying hi, or is it?
Warm behaviors are things that show that you care about the other individual, that you're paying attention, that you're curious about them. They're simple body language things. Everybody talks about the importance of maintaining eye contact. But what we don't get right is that we typically think we're supposed to be looking at the person we're talking to. That's a sign of competence. But a sign of warmth is look at the person who's talking to you. And people don't do that. I mean, it's amazing. And now with smartphones and smartwatches and all the other things we have to distract us, more and more, we're actually not looking at the people who are talking to us when they're talking to us. And that's a very strong signal of coldness. So toxic coworkers often come across as cold. They're not looking at you when you're talking. They're not smiling. They're not indicating understanding. They're not asking you questions to indicate that they're curious about you.
But what's the outcome of that? Because
outcome is really that they feel that you are, and again, this happens on a largely unconscious level, but they won't trust you.
They feel you're not paying attention to them, that you're not trustworthy, and you're more concerned about your own issues.
Exactly. Fundamentally, it's really you're not trustworthy. It becomes the big issue. If I feel that a cold vibe coming off of you, it makes me think that you don't have my best interests at heart. And so therefore, you could do something that really might, you know, injure me in some way.
So note to self, if I'm talking to a colleague or a direct report or a boss, mm-hmm. I should not be on my computer answering an email, typing something.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know,
I have been guilty of that.
Everybody is guilty of that. And then people say, well, it's okay because I was listening. And it's like, but you have to look like you're listening. That's what actually is the signal to another person.
Okay. So what are some other signs that you should look out for?
Okay,
if you're toxic.
So toxic coworkers can be cold, and they can also be self-centered is another one that comes up a lot. And what I mean by that is that they tend to be focused exclusively on their own goals and their own projects. So often they're very, very hard workers. Like you said before, they are people who are very productive and maybe very efficient. But what they don't seem to have a grasp of is, you know, what are their colleagues' goals? What are they working on? Again, no curiosity about what their colleagues are doing, and a sense of just sort of a laser focus on their own agenda, which to you as the toxic colleague might feel like, well, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's my job. But to the people around you, it may feel like you are hoarding work, that you're micromanaging, that you are not interested in being collaborative or collegial with other people because you're just so, you know, bent down in your own work that you're not really looking at and not a team player.
So it sounds like, though, that a lot of this is just perception, that I might actually be a warm, curious person, but when I'm at work, I'm just super focused on what I'm working on, you know, the niceties of work, like how was your weekend, what did you do, oh, what are your plans, like I don't have time for that, like I got to focus on my job,
right?
That's what we're here for. It's not that I'm rude or I don't like you. Let's just get our work done and move on.
I think you're 100% right. It is perception often that is not aligning with reality, that you're in your intentions. You know what your intentions are. You know what your thoughts and feelings are. But other people don't know those things. And it's naive to think that they will guess correctly if you're not giving them some information to go on. You know, there's an expression that people sometimes say, you know, that goes without saying. And I usually like to say it. Actually, almost everything goes with saying, because if you don't say it, if you don't make people aware of what you're thinking and feeling and what your intentions are, then you really can't expect them to figure it out.
It all goes back to this communication thing.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else to watch out for?
People who are sort of rule Nazis, right? That they are hell bent on following the rules under all circumstances, and I don't mean just legal and ethical rules. I mean, if there's a sense that this is the way things are done, and so this is the way we do it, those people who cling to rules that way and are really vocal about it are also rated as one of the most toxic kinds of colleagues. And again, people often feel like when they are rule followers and they're trying to get everybody else to follow the rules, they're doing a good thing. But actually, other people feel that it's really difficult to be productive around people who are completely inflexible.
Flexible. And I think you need to be flexible.
Exactly. You need to be flexible. Well, I think you can kind of think of it this way. you don't need to be flexible all the time. Sometimes rules are a good thing. But to think about, is this a situation when your colleagues are trying to push you to do something a little bit differently, to break the rules a little bit, to say, is this a situation where it really matters, where there's a huge risk if we don't follow the rules? And if the answer is no, that's maybe a time to be more flexible. Another thing I think thinking about perception is if you are being flexible, point it out to the people around you because they may not actually be noticing. You want credit for those times that you are being flexible. And then finally, I think when you really feel like, no, we have to stick to the rules here. Talk about why. Don't just assume that everybody understands why the rules in this instance are such a good thing, but share your reasoning behind that. And you're much more likely to get people on board. People who are toxic rule followers tend to not do any of those things. And if you can adjust your behavior a little bit, you don't have to throw the rules out the window. But if you can be more flexible and more open and explain more why they're important, then people are much less likely to have a problem with you.
So whether you're the boss or whether you're a coworker or maybe you know, an employee, whatever position you are in, if you are toxic, what does that create in the company? Like what are we trying to avoid here?
Oh, you're trying to basically avoid a lot of disengagement. I think, you know, in a nutshell, that when people have to come to work and work with people that they feel really are impeding them, are making it so that it's very difficult for them to feel comfortable, to feel motivated, to feel effective, then you're going to have across the board a big drop in engagement. People just get frustrated and they start to pull back. They pull back on effort. They pull back on their thinking. When they're in a threat state, which some of these kinds of toxicity can actually create, with people feeling sort of anxious and irritated, it's interesting. Your brain actually, your working memory tends to shrink. So people literally lose some of their smartness around toxic colleagues.
Because they're just so enraged or whatever.
Absolutely. There's so much stress in the brain from a toxic colleague that your working memory shrinks. You can't access things as quickly or as – and you don't think as well.
So how do you stop being toxic?
Well, like so many things, knowing is half the battle. Realizing that you may have a little bit of a problem is useful. And I think really it helps to pinpoint exactly what your problem might be. One of the things I recommend people do is ask a work colleague, someone you trust to be honest with you, to answer the following question. If I didn't know you so well, I would think that you were blank. And you find out all kinds of things. And people will say, oh, well, if
I'll say if people be honest if
right.
they answer that question.
Well, they and if they – but if when they are, they'll say things like, you know, if I didn't know you so well, I would think that you were arrogant. And then you could say, but why? And they'll tell you, well, it's because you never look at anybody when they're talking, or it's because you always seem distracted, or it's because you never ask about how anyone is doing. And you'll get those specific behaviors. That's very, very helpful to know these are the things I'm doing, and therefore then I can make a plan to really try to break that particular habit.
Well, Heidi, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Heidi Grant Halvorsen is the author of No One Understands You and What to Do About It, and she regularly writes for the Harvard Business Review. You can find a link to her recent article, Signs You Might Be a Toxic Coworker, at our website. Okay, I know that I'm guilty of at least one of these traits, on occasion, and that is not looking at a person when they're talking to me. I'm looking down at my phone, or I'm turning to write an email, and often it's about whatever it is that we're talking about, but I know, it's still really rude. Rebecca, and Rebecca is producing this puppy today. She's in the control room. I just want to say to you, I apologize.
That's okay, Charlie. I forgive you.
Yeah, but I'm not sure I'm really ready to ask my coworkers to finish the statement. If I didn't know you so well, I'd think you were blank. Yeah, not yet. That's a little too scary. If you've worked with a toxic coworker, tell us your story. What exactly did they do that just drove you crazy? Did you find a way to turn them from toxic to healthy? Send us an email. Our address is moneytalking@wnyc.org. And of course, we're on social media. We love Twitter. Our handle is @moneytalking. Or you can tweet at me and find me @CharlieHerman. And not to give you too many rules that you must follow, that you must check off, we hope that you'll check out this podcast, subscribe to it, and then when you're there, write us a review. It really does help get the word out to other people. Money Talking is a production of WNYC Studios. Our team includes Bill Moss and Rebecca Ibarra. And as always, a big shout out to Amy Poftak. Yay, Amy! She's with the Harvard Business Review. I'm Charlie Herman. Thanks for listening.